You ready for the word? You ready for the word? Let me put our hands together to our Father. Name of your Son Jesus. In this service, we receive the revelation of the written word. Our hearts and our eyes, together as a church, behold Jesus Christ your Son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified and we are edified. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 28. This series will be different. In other words, I started in the first service, so I'll continue in the second and the third. So you will get a hold of how I started it when the teachings are out. Praise the Lord. Matthew's Gospel 28. The influence of the Spirit. Amen. The influence of the Spirit. As we prepare towards our annual Believers Convention, we have two of a kind of meetings like that that we hold. In 2002, we began what we refer to now as a Charis Camp meeting, patterned after Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But before then, we had some meetings we had held in the 90s, precisely 1995. We used to call it Rivers of Joy, Times of Refreshing. So by 2004, it was changed to Believers Convention, Times of Refreshing. And the essence of those meetings is to have believers walk and act by faith in God's Word, and also the influence of the Spirit, know how to minister the things of the Spirit. And so these meetings before then, which takes place next month, will be done in view of such meetings. Praise the Lord. So Matthew's Gospel 28, the influence of the Spirit. Matthew's Gospel 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's what power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, as we have been studying, the teaching of Jesus is from Genesis to Malachi. If I'm allowed to use the phrase, the textbook is Genesis to Malachi. Jesus never taught from Romans or Ephesians or Philippians. Jesus never taught from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He taught from Genesis to Malachi. In Luke's Gospel 24, verse 25 to 27, where he met two of his friend's disciples. One of them was Cleopas. The other person is assumed to be his wife. And he said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, verse 25, verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? 27 says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In other words, Jesus took time to explain what we refer to as the Old Testament, what Genesis to Malachi was referring to, pointing, historically speaking, eschatologically speaking, to himself. Now in verse 44, he says, he spoke unto them, saying, these are the words, Luke 24 now, which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Luke's Gospel 24:44, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So that means, as we just said, his textbook, allow me to use that phrase, will be law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. 45 says, he opened ye their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Now, the second word there in 45, understand, is the Greek word suinemi, suinemi, S-U-I-N-E-M-I, which means to bring things together, or what we say, to synchronize, to sync it, to sync a conversation, to make it have, to find the common line, the common thread of a story. You open the understanding that they might find a common thread of the story. So there are two things in there. 27, he expounded, which is the word daimenu. It means to give meaning to. Some versions say to interpret, to translate. Okay? Then 45, He synchronized the scriptures. So it means that if you properly interpret the scriptures, you will find a common story. A common story. Now the scriptures say Genesis to Malachi. And so, as I have always taught you, if you read the words of Jesus and you hear something else apart from what his audience heard, you did not understand him. You must first of all hear what the audience heard. Now, the first way to know or understand what they heard is to use what they used. If they use Genesis to Malachi, you must first of all use that. And I mentioned in the first service that the epistles and even the four gospels are like subject matters or summaries or headlines. The content of the teaching is found in Genesis to Malachi. The content. You can't therefore explain the epistles properly without Genesis to Malachi. You can make mention. You can summarize. So whenever you find someone teach the epistles alone, is teaching a summary. Or like, how many of you, when you wrote your school certificate exams, at some point, you use key points. You know, key point is when the last days are upon you, and you know the end is near. You say, what is the solution? I remember one exam I wrote in university, and for one reason or the other, which you should not know, I was not really, really available. You should not follow that. That is not a good example. So I got back to school and I told my friends, I said, can you help me do key points? And I had this great friend of mine, his name is Ayo. And he said, Shegun, Shegun. Ha! I said, okay. So he took all his notes, summarized it for me in a way that I could just read it in a night, a single night. The work of a whole semester. What a bad student. And I passed the course. Okay, so that's what lazy students will do. Just summarize it. We are righteous. We are not going to hell. You know, somebody saw one of our books, this gospel. He said, Pastor Shego, you are the only, Pastor Chris said, you are the only person in the world that can transform a small book. He said, when they said this gospel, I said, I have it. Someone said, you don't have it. I said, I have it. So he said, this gospel, lovely book. He said, I read the book when I was traveling from one place to the other in Europe. He said, no. He said, what you read was the table of contents. He said, when he saw the book, he said, ah, how will you transform a small book to this? Ghana must go. He liked the summary, but he didn't like the story. It takes the story to explain the summary. The narrative of every term in the epistles comes from the Genesis to Malachi narrative. Is that very clear? Is that making sense? So that means Jesus, when he spoke here, lo, I am with you always until the end. And Luke's gospel lets us know in verse 27, he began from Moses. Verse 44, the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. So if we're going to understand what he meant there, lo, I am with you always, then we got to go back to Genesis. So, let's examine the things that are the background of that statement. Make disciples of every nation. Verse 19. Mark 16. That's Matthew 28:19. Mark 16:15. Preach the gospel to every creature. Then, Luke 24:47. Repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power. So, I want you to observe this study. You know, I told you, you must do a community reading, right? The whole thing. Brother Higgin taught us a very important principle in reading. He said, the four Gospels gives you how to substantiate evidence. You know, the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. 2 Corinthians 13:1. Matthew 18, that should be 15 or 16. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I think that's 17. So, in other words, you take all the witnesses together to understand what happened. Community reading of it. Read everything together. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will present, as it were, the full picture when you read them together. So, let's pay attention to the details now. In Matthew 28, listen carefully now, verse 19, go and make disciples of every nation. Verse 20, I am with you always. Put that together, put that somewhere. Mark 16, turn in there. Verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. This sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. In my name they'll speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall hurt them. Verse 18, they'll lay hands on the sick. 17, is there something there? 18, and the sick shall recover. Then he says, then he ascended up and sat around of God and all that. Then in 20, he says they went everywhere, pay attention, preaching the word, and the Lord walking with and confirming the word. So Jesus was in the message. He was in that ministry with them. So Matthew 28:20, I am with you, right? Are we together? Is that the same as Mark 16:20? The Lord walking with the word. Are we good? Luke's Gospel 24, verse 47. Repentance and remission of sins will be preached in his name among all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And then verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. Alright? Then verse 49. He says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Did you see that too? Now, is that the same thing with Matthew 28:20? Mark 16:20? Alright, good. So, John 20. John 20. Verse 21. Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me. Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me. Verse 21, even so send I you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Look at 22. Then he breathed on, the word them is not in the Greek, he breathed on, the word emphusao in the Greek, E-M-P-H-U-S-A-O. It means he quickened them from the inside. It's not like he put his nose on their head. No. He quickened them by the words that he said to them. They came alive on the inside. That's what he said. He said to them, that means the things he said to them caused them to be enlivened from inside. He said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit are remitted them, and whosoever sins are retained, then are retained. So, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Is that together with Matthew 28:20? Huh? Talk to me now. Mark 16:20. Luke 24:49. John 20:22. All the same thing. Acts 1:8. Acts 1:4 says, not many days hence you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. You know, John indeed baptized with water, but not many days hence you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Wait for the promise of the Father. Verse 4 and 5. Acts 1 8, you shall receive what? Power. After which the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Are we ready together now? Okay. Which means, that the fruit of the resurrection of Jesus is the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can summarize the eventuality of all that Jesus did, that this is the fulfillment he gave us the Spirit. So, pay very good attention. If the background of the epistles is the book of Acts, the background of the book of Acts is the four gospels. The four gospels, the background is the prophets. The background of the prophets and the Psalms is the first five books, Genesis to Deuteronomy. Which means that if it's not in, pay attention, if it's not in Genesis, it can't be in Exodus. If it's not in Exodus, it can't be in Leviticus. If it's not in Leviticus, it can't be in Numbers. If it's not in Numbers, it can't be Deuteronomy. If it's not in Deuteronomy, it can't be in Joshua, Judges, up through to Malachi. If it's not in Malachi, it can't be in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If it's not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it can't be in the book of Acts. If it's not in the book of Acts, it can't be in the epistles. Who's following what I'm saying here? Which means that as Jesus was making these statements, or explaining these things, what were they reading? Ephesians? Colossians? What? Huh? Genesis to Malachi. So, whatever he said here must have been a promise, a prophecy, a prediction, found between Genesis and Malachi. So, which means, we said, that means to summarize all that God promised between Genesis to Malachi in the four Gospels, explaining the epistles, we can say God gave His Spirit. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? God gave His Spirit. So, where are we going to find that promise? Genesis. If it's not in Genesis, then it's not true. So, Genesis chapter 1. Are you learning something? Come on, talk to me. Are you learning something? Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 1. And that word, beginning, is a description of Jesus Christ. The word bereshith, from the word reshith, is used for firstborn, first fruit, or what is the head of something. As we leave, all you know is that as you step out of that text and you go into other texts of the book of Genesis, it's used for men. Reuben was called the firstborn, the beginning of my strength. So it's used for the head. For example, in Genesis 3:15, it says, I will put enmity between your seed and the seed of the woman. It will bruise your head. The word head there is the word rosh, R-O-S-H in the Hebrew, which is the root word of the word reshith. Reshith. So, which means that the word head is an explanation of a person that will begin God's new creation. A person, a being, a man, that will be the beginning of God's new creation. In the beginning, or in Jesus Christ. So John's gospel will say, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same Greek word, ake. In the beginning. And Paul explored that word in Colossians 1:15-18. I've studied this with you before, where he calls Jesus the beginning of God's creatures, the beginning of all that God did, the firstborn of every creature, firstborn from the dead, using all the shades of the meaning of the word bereshith. So Jesus is Genesis 1:1. If Genesis 1:1 is not Jesus, then Jesus is not Lord. Then he is not God. So God's plan of redemption is executed in the firstborn, in the first fruit, in the head of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ. So, and we've said that the reason for Genesis is an exodus. There was an exodus. The audience of Moses was Israel. Israel in Egypt seeking redemption, seeking forgiveness of sins, as we can call it now, seeking salvation, an exodus from Egypt. And so Moses gives them the promise of God that this is the beginning. Heaven and earth together, God's new creation reality. That's why verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void. Tohu wa bohu, which means there's confusion, nothing, oppression, darkness. So he calls form and void darkness. And that's not the absence of the sun. That is a spiritual condition. So what we have in Genesis 1:1 is God's redemption plan. God's redemption plan in his son, in the firstborn, in the first fruit, or in the head of the body. Why then does Moses use heaven and earth? Don't forget, you are not his immediate audience. His immediate audience only understood things by illustrations. His immediate audience were not spirit-filled Christians. His immediate audience was a nation largely filled with unbelievers. His immediate audience were those people that you had to use natural illustrations to explain spiritual truth. Who's following what I'm saying here? Good. So, having known that, it means that Jesus is teaching from these texts. So verse 2, when it says the earth was without form and void, is referring to when it says the earth was empty. Listen carefully now. Empty. How do you call something empty? If you call it the earth, it means it's a spiritual condition. If I ask you, for example, oh, check that house for, pay attention, check that house for my cousins. I want you to see whether my cousins are home. Then you get into the house or the room and you call me and you say, the room is empty. Even though there are chairs there, even though there's a bed there, even though there's a television set. You mean the room is empty, the room doesn't have your cousin. Is that it? Or anyone there? So why would Moses say the earth was empty? It's without the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? It's without the Spirit of God. That is the emptiness there. Without the Spirit of God. So it describes human condition, spiritually speaking, without the Spirit of God. Tohu wa bohu. And then he calls it, darkness was upon the face of the deep. Then he says, the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. Waters is a scriptural illustration for nations. If you read Genesis chapter 2, for example, from verse 10 to verse 14, you see rivers were used to describe nations. If you read Numbers 14:21, as I live, saith the Lord, my glory will fill the earth as the waters covers the sea. Habakkuk 2:14. It says, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters what? Covers the sea. So waters is an Old Testament, allow me to use that word Old Testament, illustration for nations. So, when you say the earth was without form and void, it means the nations are empty without the Spirit. Let me see if you understand that one. Is it making sense? Good. So, it says, then the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, which is the Hebrew word, Ruach. R-U-A-C-H. R-U-A-C-H. Now, I mentioned in the first service, that is a loan word. A loan word is when you borrow a phrase used for another illustration to describe something else within the culture. Ruach is used for what you cannot see. So that's why it's used for many things. Used for breath, breathing. It's used for the wind. It also used many times in that culture for extraterrestrial beings. And that's why the opening statement is the spirit. It says the spirit of God, which means there are other extraterrestrial beings. The spirit of God. And by using that phrase, spirit of God, it implies that the darkness is spiritual. The spirit of God moves over the face of the waters. So, it lets us know that God's activity in the earth is by His Spirit. Let me say what I said in the earlier service. It means that before the seen, we have the unseen. We must therefore be conscious of the spirit world. It means that the world we live in are two worlds in one. The seen and the unseen. We used to call it the best of two worlds. I learned that from Brother Hagin. I can't remember what year was that. I think it was one of the camp meetings where he taught best of two worlds. So we made it the theme of our own camp meeting in 1998 at Cocoa Research Institute, about March 12 to 14. It was a Friday to a Sunday. The Friday, Akmisha Ridausa died. I know it very, very well. The best of two worlds. The best of two worlds. Which means that there are two worlds, and God wants us to have the best of it. The best of, not the better, the best of two worlds, which is not grammatically correct. So we have what we can, the seen world and the unseen world. Which means that even though human culture and behavior can be perceived naturally, is largely influenced by what is not seen. So we therefore, as believers, have to be spirit conscious more than we are feelings conscious. We have to be spirit conscious. So, let's get back to that. So, the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. Or we call it God in an unseen way moved. And that phrase, we're going to see it again in Genesis 3 and verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The word cool there is the same Hebrew word, ruach, R-U-A-C-H. So which means that God's activity is in the realm of the unseen. Do you understand it now? Can you see it? The realm of the unseen. Who's following this? Come on. The realm of the unseen. The unseen is not the unreal. It just means that it is not perceivable to the eyes, to the ears, and to feelings. So he says, he walked in the cool of the day. Cool there is ruach. The word day there is the word yom, Y-O-M, which we are going to explore in the next minute, next time. So, in chapter 6, the third time you read the word spirit. My spirit shall not always strive with man. I explained all that in the first service. You can lay your hands on what I taught there. My spirit shall no longer, shall not always, pardon me, strive with man. And the word strive there is the word din, D-I-N in the Hebrew, which is the same in meaning when Jesus in John 16:7 says, if I do not depart, he will not come to you. When I depart, I will send the comforter to you. And when he's come, he will convict the world of sin, verse 8, of righteousness and of judgment. It's the same, that's the Greek meaning of the word strive with man, which means to convince, to give evidence to inspire faith, and also to provide judgment where there's unbelief. So, which means that the activity of the Spirit of God in the earth is through man. Why? Because how would God strive with man? First thing is that the Spirit of God, the activity of the Spirit is towards man. Strive with man. And the fact that it's towards man shows it's through man. And so verse 8, we have the man Noah, who found grace in the eyes of God. So Noah became the man through which God is striving with man. Now, when it says his days shall be 120 years, the 120 years is the length of time that Noah took to preach and teach and warn people about such destructions that is coming and God's salvation plan. So Noah, therefore, here is a prophet of God, or call him a spokesperson of God. So we follow this very well. So the work of the Spirit in the earth is towards what purpose? Salvation. Is that clear? Is that clear? And God's Spirit is towards man. And he works in man to reach man. He works in man to reach man. Before we get there, quickly, let me just... there was something I said in the first service that I left off at one point. So, we said in the first service that God saw... Now, when you say God saw, it's not like he's shocked. He's just showing you God's judgment of something. God saw, verse 5, the wickedness of man. Then again, in verse 12, he looked upon the earth, it was corrupt. Why? He says in verse 13, there's violence. Now, when he says there's violence, and he says, I will destroy the earth. No. It's what you can call a mode of communication you have to understand. Don't forget I said, you must sit where they stand. When he said, I will destroy, how can you destroy something that is self-destructive? The earth was already self-destructive. You just read there's violence. And the earth was already corrupted. So how would he now destroy what was already being destroyed? So when you say, I will destroy there, simply means that I cannot save. It's a language. It's the same way, Genesis 3:15, look at it. I will put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman. Now look at me, guys. Is it God that put the enmity? No. The enmity was already existing because man had sinned. So, the Hebrew language uses what you can call a kind of grammar that doesn't clear the permissive and the causative. What do I mean? If, for example, I opened the door, you say, Shegu opened the door. Right? That means I did it. But if someone opened the door and I was there, I should have said, what I should say is that I saw the door opened. Or, I was there when the door was opened. You can say, why didn't you shut it? Or, why didn't you open it yourself? But the point was, I was there when the door was opened. So the first one, I opened the door, is I caused the door to open. The second one, I saw the door open. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Now in the language of those first books of scripture, the grammar of that day did not clear it. There was no clarity. And oftentimes in the Hebrew, That first pronoun, I will, the word I, is absent or silent. So, therefore, it made Bible interpreters say that is what is called the permissive tenses. A permissive tense is, I was there, I saw it, I don't want to use the word I allowed it, but I did nothing about it. Okay? And the causative is what I did. Now, how you often know this is as simple. It's very simple. For example, in this instance, you can see that the earth was being corrupted. There was violence in the earth. That wasn't God. So, it states the consequences of the violence. Just like Genesis 2:16 and 17, the day you eat of it, you will die. It didn't say, I will kill you. Yet, in chapter 3, he says, you are cursed. Now, if you have read chapter 2:16 and 17, you know he's only pronouncing what just happened. In chapter 3, he said, God cursed them. No, they were cursed. He was just saying it. But because that language didn't clear it, it'll take proper interpretation to understand what happened. And so that's why it's wise to read the whole thing first. Oftentimes, what we call contradiction is ignorance of the grammar. So, in today's language, when it says, I will destroy, it simply means, I will not save. Now, pay attention there. The next verse in 8 now says, Noah found grace. That's a bit interesting. How can somebody who will destroy have grace? And the word grace there, the Hebrew word chen, C-H-E-N, means compassion, loving kindness. So, Noah found loving kindness. Or let's say, Noah found a savior in God. So, if God is the loving, kind savior, then he's not the one destroying. Who's following what I'm saying here? Come on. Are you learning something? Now, if you lay your hands on, okay, I don't know, he's not in circulation right now, this is our God, or understands what our rivers going through. I'm sure that if you read God's word in a pandemic, it gives you some clarity in there too. God's word in the pandemic is available. I'm going to talk about it after I'm done teaching. And so, where you have that phrase, it says Noah found. So, Noah having found that loving kindness of God, now preached the gospel for 120 years. That is why the epistles, 1 Peter 3, says the long suffering of God in the days of Noah, who preached the gospel to people that were disobedient. 1 Peter 3, that should be verse 18 to 20. So, Noah found the long suffering of God, and 2 Peter 3:15 says, we know that the long suffering of our God is salvation. To save. So the work of the Spirit is not destruction. The work of the Spirit is salvation. That's why in Genesis 1 and verse 3, what did the Spirit of God do over the waters? And God said, so, let's tie up a few things. The Spirit of God is how God walks in the earth. Is that clear? Is that clear? Alright. So, the first activity of the Spirit in the earth is by speaking. God said, let there be light. Or, in the proper Hebrew, light be. Or, me be. So, in the work of the Spirit, let's slow down a little bit. The goal of the work of the Spirit in the earth is what? Salvation? Redemption? Right? So he will carry out the work of salvation through numerous activities, one of which is to say. Right? Come on. To say. Or to speak. So, God's goal is to redeem mankind. To save mankind. And he will do it by the influence of his Spirit. And a primary way that happens is by utterance. If they ask you, what was God's first work in the earth? He said. So which means that a primary work of the Spirit in the earth is inspired utterances. Inspired utterances. So God communicates his plans, purpose, and power through words. Through inspired words. Hallelujah. Let me see how you're following this. Come on. Come on, are you following this? Now, let's understand that now. Look at verse 2. The earth, Genesis 1, was without form and void. Tohu wabohu. Empty. Darkness. Darkness. So, that darkness, go to Genesis 6, verse 2 and 3, and then Genesis 6, verse 7, 12 and 13. We read that earlier. That's violence, right? That's violence. Corruption, is that it? Come on. Violence, corruption. Verse 5, wickedness. So, what is the emptiness in the earth? What are we going to find? Like I said, when you get to the room, you will see chairs, but you didn't see my cousin. So, when we get to the earth, we will see wickedness, but not the Spirit of God, right? Are you learning? We will see violence, corruption, evil thoughts, imaginations, right? Come on. Okay, so now, let's talk in the natural. Which means that, if I see it from the flesh, I'll just say, ah, what's going on here? I will talk from my sensory perceptions. I could even, let me use the word, I could endorse it because it's logical. I could say, oh, see how the world is going. I could complain. I could grumble. I could be angry. You know. I could describe what I've seen excellently. But what I've said is not inspired. It's not that what I said is not correct. It's just not inspired. Hallelujah. And so, we said, we have two worlds, right? There's a way I can describe, and I described it just from the natural. And my words are plainly just natural. God's work in the earth is by His Spirit. And the word Ruach, which is the word Spirit, means the unseen. Unseen. So I can get inspired from the seen or from the unseen. So, that means in the world I am, there is what is seen and what is not seen. Is that very clear? Okay, so God's work in the earth is by His Spirit. Hallelujah. That's fundamental. Very fundamental. So we are We are that, we are God's vessels or agencies, how he works in the earth. We said God works through who? The work of the Spirit is towards man and through man. So, can we also say the work of the Spirit is to speak to man through who? Is that clear? It's to understand that the basic thing is that Jesus is teaching from these books. Is that clear? Is that very clear? Is that very clear? He's teaching from these books that we're reading. So, that means that if we say the work of the Spirit of God is to man and from man, don't just say to man, it is also where? Through man. So, how is the Spirit of God going to cover the nations? By who? Men. And a primary way he does it is by words. Now, is it our words or it is inspiring us to speak? Is that very clear? So, which means that the Spirit of God in a man is how God inspires activities in the earth. I'll take that again. The Spirit of God in and through man is how God inspires his activities in the earth. So we said the very first activity of God in the earth is by speaking. God said, let there be light. Can that happen by evangelism? Huh? Come on, talk to me. By prayer? Evangelism? Come on. Is it making sense? So, the first activity of God is by speaking. God said, let there be light. And there was light. So, if this is a promise of redemption, that means Genesis 1:3 is prophecy. Come on! Is it clear? That's prophecy. Prophecy. Because if you see Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman who bruised the head of the serpent, that's prophecy. Is that prophecy? If you've been following our study, Genesis 2:18. I'll make an help meet. Help meet. The Hebrew word, Ezar Nagad. I will provide a deliverer ahead of him. Now, some versions haven't helped us. It looks like house help. And that's for the wife. And I tell some people, how can you see a woman like this, well educated with PhD, and you want to put her in the kitchen? Are you not afraid? You know, get to the point. You send your wife and say, can I have food? And you're talking to a professor. Amen. Is that not your role? Say what? Help meat. It's not meat, it's fish. That is the promise of a Messiah. The word Ezar is only used for God in the whole Bible. So again, we find prophecy. Prophecy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, when God inspires men to declare his will on earth, that is prophecy. When men speak the words of God by the Spirit of God in the earth, that is prophecy. Utterances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is it making sense? So the primary way God does things in the earth, he says it. That means his words precede his actions. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? His words precede his actions. This is the reason why the entire Old Testament, I said it again, right? Just forgive my sins. The entire Genesis to Malachi is called prophecy. Is that very clear? Prophecy. 2 Peter 1. It says we have a more sure word, verse 18, of prophecy. A more sure word of prophecy. It says, as the day dawn, now the word word of prophecy there, pay attention, is the word propheticon, words of prophets. Words of prophets. As the day dawn and day star arise in your heart. As unto a light that shines for it in the dark place, as the day dawn and day star arise in your heart. So, Peter is reading Genesis 1, 2 and 3. As the light that shines in a dark place, as the day dawn and day star arise in your heart. Then he says, for no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21, 2 Peter 1, the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spoke as they were what? Moved by the Holy Spirit. So the entire Genesis to Malachi is a book of what? It's a book of what? Prophecies. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Which means, my lips are his vessel. Say, my lips are his vessel. My walk in the earth is to yield myself as an instrument of words in the earth. I give myself to the influence of the Spirit. To the influence of the Spirit. So which means words precede his actions. You know, there are human beings that act then explain to you. I know that some of our parents do it. My mom is in many of our teachings now. And she hears it. And she's okay. She wants to tell you to do something. I remember one day we were... Sorry, what is egusi in English? Melon. I don't know if you have ever shared melon. What's share? What's it? Peel. I know, I'm just teasing you. So... she wanted to explain to me how I shouldn't break it because she would bring bags. Hi. Holiday? How can a human being purposely go and buy beans that has to be picked in bags? Many of you don't know how to pick rice. Bags. And myself and my cousin will divide it. Per day. So when she goes out to work, she knows she will be busy. Occupied till I come. She has given you full-time ministry. And so, that day she wanted to tell me I should stop breaking you call it melon, Abby? Thank you. She said, I said, you should say, ah! So I learned to break it without breaking. God doesn't do that. God will tell you. Praise the Lord. He puts his actions in the earth primarily by words. Glory to God. That's why he said, oh fools, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have what spoken. Pay attention to that. All they have spoken. All they have spoken. Then 27, he expounded to them in all the scriptures. Which means, what was written was first of all what? Spoken. So everything Moses wrote in Genesis 1, 2 and 3, he first of all said it. Then he documented what he said. Who's following this? Come on. So God's activities in the earth are championed and heralded by words. Say, my words are the tools of God in the earth today. So where there's violence and corruption, we're like Noah in our world. Hallelujah. We give ourselves to the work of God in the earth. Because the believer today, I want you to listen to this very well. The believer today, right, functions in the capacity of the prophets of the Old Testament. He functions in that capacity. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, Paul said to Timothy, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ. Then he says in 16, all scripture is inspired by God. Neostos in the Greek. Which means it's spoken out by God. Spoken out by God. How? By men. Just like Noah. Then Abraham. So the influence of the Spirit in the earth is primarily by utterances. Utterances by the Spirit of God. Utterances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we have Spirit-inspired words. We have flesh-inspired words. When we watch the television, they inspire us to say something. When we listen to the social media, they inspire us what to say. But when we hold on to God's word, hallelujah, we have inspired words. Glory to God. We yield to the Spirit of God. We yield to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You know, you are God's agent in the earth. You know that? You are not the devil's agent? Are you? No way. I'm God's agent in the earth. So I yield myself to the work of the Spirit in the earth. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So the primary work of the Spirit in the earth is by speaking. Glory to God. By speaking. Thank you, Lord Jesus. By speaking. Glory to God. By speaking through men to men. So we are vessels that carry the word of God in utterances, in speech, in expressions. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, in this week, you are God's servant in the earth. Glory to God. You know, in this week, you are a servant in the earth. You know that's what you are? This week. That's true. You are an Arsenal fan. You have to be. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm God's servant in the earth. Glory to God. And God said, let there be light. God said through his prophets, right? Let there be light. God said through his sons. God said through his servants. Let there be light. Any son here right now? Any servant? Any agent of God. Glory to God. We have the Holy Ghost. To speak the words of God. In the earth today. We have the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory to God. So on the day of Pentecost. What's happening there? The beginning. Hallelujah. The beginning. Not the beginning. Not the beginning. Glory to God. The beginning. Glory to God. The beginning. Glory to God. The beginning. Acts 2:1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And there came a sound from heaven, glory to God, as of a rolling mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated. And there appeared unto them the three cloven tongues of fire, and it sat upon each of them, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with tongues. Glory to God. as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began. Glory to God. Something was happening in the earth. They began. And when those guys came around, and they said, what's going on here? They're speaking in tongues and they're saying things. What were they saying? So they are speaking the wonderful works of God. The wonderful works of God. Is that the light of God? Come on, talk to me. The wonderful works of God. Peter, standing up with the 11, said, men and brethren, these men are not drunk as you suppose, but this is for the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, saying in the last days, said God, I will. Now, there were last days. Unfortunately, it has been seized by wrong interpretation. When people say last days, what comes to their head is Antichrist, 666. Or now, coronavirus. Last day, actually the word days is often not in the Greek, is the word last. Eschatos. Now, the word eschatos has to do with two events. If I make a promise, right, and then I keep repeating that promise. I said I'll give you the money. And some of us are like that. An uncle promises you money. You just text him. I just wanted to find out how good you are. Sir, but you greeted me yesterday. Today is another one. New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You remind the person. They begin to send nice Bible exhortations. You are head and not the tail. You are the middle and not the center. And you might say, thank you. Say, ah. Okay. Say, no. I'm not talking about what you said. on the man's birthday, you send flour, you send cake, you send another birthday. He said, she go relax now. He said, no, sir, I'm your lovely nephew, and I know that you deserve this. You are not giving me anything, no. I know you deserve it. In fact, you can go and tell other cousins that Uncle So and So is such a nice man. If he has not disappointed you yet. So between that period and when it happened, is Genesis to Malachi. He repeats it. On the 31st, I'll do this for you. Now, when he has now done it, it is at last day. From the promise to the fulfillment, the promise is when it was prophesied, the last day is when it was fulfilled. Let me see if you understand that. Eschatos. At last. So he said, at last, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. The sons and daughters shall do what? Prophesy. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. And what happened? Peter, who was timid to talk to a girl about Jesus, now became bold. So prophesying is a proof of our enablement to preach the gospel in the earth. Hallelujah. Because prophesying is not an end, it's a means to an end. It's a signifying, a sign that you have work to do in the earth. Hallelujah. Say, I have work to do in the earth. I'm God's agent in the earth. I yield myself to the utterances of the Spirit. Glory to God. Close here. I pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. To speak forth what God is doing in the earth. And then it leads to 3,000 men who accepted the gospel. Acts 2, 41 and 42. 3,000. So we don't prophesy to feel good. We prophesy to arouse what God is doing in the earth. I know in this week, you will find yourself speaking what God is doing in the earth. What God is doing in the earth will not be in the newspapers. Amen? It will not be on social media, but it's going to get there anyway. What God is doing in the earth is what He is doing through you. So this week, I speak by the Spirit of God. I bring the will of God on the scene in my country, in my state. I yield myself to the influence of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. You blessed? Lift your hands and bless God. Oh, sing in tongues wherever you are. Sing in tongues. Sing in tongues. I see the fire of God's Spirit.